insane disdain for formality and spit and polish, even to the extent where I sit in my office as the dean of the university in Anchorage, with some uneasy times and not feeling entirely at home in the rather extravagant, luxurious office that I'm given. I'm sure Ethel would have felt the same way. I have to digress only to this extent. I came as a college student to the University of Alaska in 1928, having been offered the opportunity to come to Alaska by Uncle Lynn on one of his visits home to our home in Newcastle, Indiana. My mother was his only sister, and Uncle Lynn had three brothers, an older brother, two younger brothers. My father had died when I was just a year old, and I was raised in the Smith family by my mother. The youngest brother in this family, Uncle Lynn's youngest brother, lived at home with my mother and was for 30 years the curator of the Henry County Historical Society, only four doors from my mother's home. I grew up in that society. My uncle was ill a large part of the time, and I substituted as a junior high school and a high school boy on many occasions for him in the museum that he took care of for many, many years. He personally made it. This rubbed off, this experience. The experience, I didn't know it at the time, you might have known that. The experience with Uncle Lynn certainly rubbed off. And then years later, as I became a history teacher in my hometown schools, I soon became very disturbed at the efforts to teach history through the unimaginative textbook approach, and became very interested in the local and state history, which through the years has now resulted in my having published around 10 volumes, 10 books, one set of 7, and all of the type of publication which has to do with education and history, dealing primarily with source materials. And my final volume is now, or about to go to the press, by the Indiana State Historical Society, a documentary story of the history of the schools in my hometown, which resulted only from the unique collection that I have made of this type of source material. It's amazing. This all leads to many experiences. For a number of summers, I was the field archivist for our Indiana State Library, only because I had a nose for digging out source materials. I gathered so much material you couldn't get it in this room. And when I say material, I mean paper material. So I step into the Alaska scene here with great interest in what you're attempting to do. And yet I do want to say to you very briefly here that my experience of many years with the state and the local societies taught me one thing. There are three major sources of loss of historical materials. This is a historical fact all over the country. Fire and flood and local historical societies. Now, this is true for this reason. They gather things and they put them in a basement, and that's where they get lost, by fire and flood, and nobody can say when or that's going to happen. The result of this has, of course, forced to my mind some very strong convictions in regard to this type of work, and I'd like to join with you people and eliminating this, the opportunity for this type of thing here in our state through your society or ours in Anchorage. I come to Alaska, I came with some thought that maybe one of the aspects of pioneering days might be gone, but it isn't. And that is the lack of a spirit of oneness of the people in the state. And I think one of the few salvations to this circumstance is organizations of this type that can professionally get together in an interest in not just what is in Anchorage or what is in Fairbanks or in Eagle or in Nome, but an interest in the overall historical development of the state. I hope you people can reach this professional status in your work too. Now, I bring enough material, documentary nature, to put out a magazine your type for several months. I'm going to hand these to you to look at, Dr. Kang, because I think you'd be interested. And these are just what I have had time to type in the last 2 years since I've been here, and I haven't had much spare time getting a college started. These are Uncle Lynn's recollections. There are about 10 of them. I think he read these sometime here in Fairbanks, because he says this: one redeeming feature about these sourdoughs was that no matter how tough it was coming, they could always enjoy a joke, and enjoyed a good laugh whether it was on themselves or the other fellow. I offer a few of these things, a few of the things I've heard or seen up here, and these are offered because they're true, not because they're to be read by polite society. And if there are any straight-laced women who cannot laugh, please pass this chapter by. I shall have to call a spade, and make no apologies, trusting these will offend no one. And I think he read those here at some pioneer meeting, maybe 30 or 35 years ago. Well, these stories, there are 10 of them, I can't read them tonight. I came prepared to do this in case this machine wouldn't work, because I knew I'd have to switch the type of address I'd give. I can't read these tonight. I wouldn't dare read some of them. You'd be interested in them. The last one are the words to the Kobuk Queen. You're familiar with this song, are you? Or no, I suppose some have heard it. He says that it was written by C.K. Snow and Lynn Smith and Ruby in 1913. It's reasonably poor poetry, and I suspect it was written by Uncle Lynn, but it does describe the Kobuk Queen, who some of the early timers knew about, I think, on the Kuskokwim. This document, around 13 pages of this type of close typing, is the description of his experiences from the time he left Indiana to the time he got down to Rampart in the middle of the summer of 98, and it's in detail. I sent this to Bob DeArmond here a year or so ago and thought maybe he'd be interested for Alaska Sportsman. They said it had to be brushed up, but I didn't have time to brush anything like this up. To begin with, the style is Uncle Lynn's style, since it got a flavor all its own. I was prepared this evening, if I had to talk without the machine, to talk about the women of early Alaska, because I pulled out of all this and some other source materials descriptions of some of the early women, including the ladies. They visited the sightseers in Seattle and Dawson as they were passing through in those days. And along with that, this list of Alaskan celebrities that Uncle Lynn had made up, which is one of the longest I've ever seen. Now, even McGowan knew these real well, some of them. You will too. Here are the Nosy Sisters, Limping Grouse, Passionate Annie, Bunchgrass, the Oregon Mare, the Utah Felly, and so on down the line. And the men are equally colorful characters. It probably would be worth our while for me to duplicate this, send it up here, and let's fill in the gaps on all these people, if you'd like to do it. Now, some are still alive, I'm told. Not all of these were professional people. The story that he tells in his account of his life interested me, and I pulled out the stories about the women for this reason. Uncle Lynn was a bachelor. Now, those of us in his family never understood just entirely why this was so until we read this. And there are four or five incidents in his span of 30, well, in his span of 30, 5 years in Alaska, involving women, which probably explained his state of singleness, or his retaining at any rate, through the years. And they're very plausible explanation there. I'm sorry I can't read those to you. This is sort of tempting, but that type of thing I realize. But someday, maybe when this evening's entertainment is worn off, I'll come back again. But maybe he'll give you this part of. Now, he left a diary which covered from March of '98. Began on his birthday, as a matter of fact, on March the 17th of 98, and extended through to the point where the middle of the summer, where he wound up at Rampart. He didn't stop. He had stopped at Dawson very long. They understood that it was much easier to find gold at the roots of the grass down near Rampart, so they went on. They firmly believed this, incidentally. And this diary supplements this written account, detail for detail, and the two put together, and I'm able to trace very easily, day by day, step by step, his coming into the territory over White Pass and down the usual route. A more detailed account is this, that I just got copied this earlier this week, is the story of him traveling in 1904 from Rampart to Valdez. And on this trip, he got in, he stepped in the overflow on the Tanana and froze his left foot a little bit, and barely got into Monty's cabin or woodyard. I don't know where that was. He had some Indian friends halfway across the stretch from Rampart to the Tanana, and he cut across, across I think it says here, up Bennett Creek and down, up Glen Gulch and down Baker Creek to the Tanana, and then up this to Chena and Fairbanks. And on this occasion where he froze his foot, he got into the cabin, and there was Chief William, Mike Hess, Frank, and Charlie Drywood were there, and they stuck his foot in a bucket of ice water and all, and rubbed it and got it thawed out, and then they soaked it in coal oil. Well, Uncle Lynn never suffered too much from this all through the years, so this was a successful remedy. And I talked to Dr. Mills in Anchorage, who's doing research on frostbite with assistance in the Navy fund. And this, he'd heard a lot about this too, but he never, as a scientist, been able to figure out why coal oil worked. He was real interested in this first-hand account of that. Now, of equal interest and more interest is, this is, I brought with me, is just chapter two of a typewritten document that I think somebody by the name of Sam Clark wrote. That's the only thing I can figure out. This is this is an eyewitness account of being in Fairbanks in 1904 at the time of the fire. I forget what the first chapter is titled, by a bicycle from Valdez to Fairbanks in 1904, and it is a really interesting, this doesn't take any editing, this type of document, really interesting account of coming by bicycle over the frozen rivers and across to Fairbanks at that time by bicycle, and it tells in detail their experiences at every one of the roadhouses where they were stacked in. Pretty thick, apparently. And then the third chapter is the story of the fire. And I forget what the fourth chapter is. And the fifth one is just, he must have stopped before he actually got this story all through, because it's a story, a series of just anecdotes. Then in addition to this, Uncle Lynn had somehow acquired the life story of Frank Buteau's pictures I have here. It's in Frank Buteau's handwriting. It's a real long account, and in addition to that, an even longer handwritten account of the life of Henry Davis. Now, in talking with Miss McGowan, she thought maybe that was the father of the man here. It was in, written up in the paper. What was his name? Ed Abbey?
Yeah,
but I don't know. I better talk to you privately about this, yeah, because there's some details in that life. I won't speak of it publicly. Yeah. It might not be your father.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, possibly so.
Well, this is, just as far as I know, is Henry born in Montana?
No. Beside my father. My father was in Lenoir, North Carolina. So that's another Henry name.
Well, that's good. This man is a small man. Now, we haven't any trial run on this machine, and I would like to do this. We can spend the rest of the evening on one picture, this type of thing, with a group of this type, and I thought it might help if I give each one of you a card or two of this type. I have these numbers. If anybody wants to write some information about these pictures, write them on here with the number of the picture I have. And this may suffice to gather some information. Would you mind passing these around one of you? Donna, could you just give everybody two and then they all have a plenty?
Do you mind hooking this on now?
All right, go with it.
It won't get you.
No. I'll try and not drop it or anything. Well, we're gonna have to have a trial run. Congressman from Washington. And Senator Graham, this picture I was telling you about, because Uncle Lynn's in that last Chrysler, it's 1926. Now somebody write this down. Tom Gibson. The early pioneers had their pictures taken whether it was snowing or not. And Uncle Lynn must have had this taken very early, I would guess before World War I. He looks a little younger there. I don't know where it was taken, what studio it was snowing. I don't know how I happened to have this picture of Father Jetty, but it's a fine one. And I have the negative. If anybody wants copies of this, they're certainly welcome to them. And I'm not leaving the museum too long because this heat curls them. And I have to watch the... Now here's one that's unidentified. I have no idea where it is.
They're having a good time.
Well, if anybody knows anything about that, that was picture 71. The ladies at the top of this page are the Bunny Club of Ruby. I don't know who the man... The man is, there's a marking on the back here, Bill Dahlquist. See if I can get the bunny. I guess I can't get them all in at one time, so I'll take Mr. Dahlquist off. I don't know who he was. And put the Bunny Club in. This is at Ruby. 1917. No. Yeah. 19. That was 1917. I'm thinking. I don't know where this house was either. It's a... I'm having trouble. Well, maybe it was here in Fairbanks. That's number 69, if anybody knows where it was. And I'm not sure where this was. It's St. James Mission. Was it Panama? I don't know. Well, if somebody will write that down, it's this is picture 68. Now, I think this picture was in early Fairbanks, but I'm not certain of it. It's taken by a Huey photographer. And on the back, the reason I think it is that, on the back, it says, taken when I was in Fairbanks. We took in over $28,000 for merchandise, sold in cash in this building the first 6 months, and did all the work ourselves, no electric or gas bills. I don't know, this had to, he was in Fairbanks, well, this had to be around 1904, you see. But I'll put it back in if anybody can. That's an old one. Yeah, there's nothing in the background there. That picture is 66, if any. Here is a picture of a group at a dance, and it says on the back, just picture of a dance, I was not there. And I don't know for sure, but I assume maybe it was Hot Springs. I'm afraid I couldn't mount these in the haste that I got off. We're not going to get much good out of that one. You can't identify this. It's marked Hot Springs, and I don't know whether it was Manly or where it was, but here they are in swimming. Manly? Not Manly. Someday we'll... Because it was with these pictures, which, what is this? Maybe we better go through these and then you can look at them later. Here's the building being constructed, so maybe this will help you. Well, the other building was too. That's 62 and 63, Manly Hot Spring. Now, I don't know just where this was, but Uncle Lynn's in the one to the left, and I'm guessing it's over in the Ruby area. That's 61. I don't know what year. But that's familiar. That one was 60. These pictures I know about, and I'm going to show them to you because and not leave them in too long, keep them curling. But these are actually pictures of Chena. Yeah. They are uncurled, and I'm not gonna singe them. Well, I just didn't have time to do this right before I got here tonight. There. Well, we'll get this copied then. I have lots of pictures of Ruby, and this is one of the good ones. Yeah. Fire out. Ruby. I hope you saved the food. This is a picture too that I think you will enjoy. This Main Street of Chena. Yeah. My mother, along with most of the people in the country, never could understand how anybody lived up here in the early days. And here's the evidence. This is Uncle's cabin, inside his cabin or apartment at Chena. Yeah, there's no hardship. Now, I have two accounts where he is described as the first mayor of Chena, but I have no way of verifying that, and I am a little bit skeptical. I don't know whether it's true or not. Here's another picture of that room where he lived. He wasn't having, he had the usual pinups. Oh. I think he was pretty well fixed. I think I'll digress long enough to tell you it was in Chena where he was living. He was singing in the Presbyterian choir. My uncle and I are sung in a lot of Presbyterian choirs now, right between us. And apparently going with some girl in the choir, and they met on the services on Sunday night. And he had gone on Saturday out to Esther and to help a friend, and this friend had offered him half of his claim there if he'd come out and work with him on the next day. And my Uncle Lynn had signed some kind of an agreement to that effect. But when he went to church on Sunday morning and told this girl he was going with about it, she cried. Well, he was tender-hearted man, and some of you may know that, even if he was Marshall, and he didn't go out. He stayed because they'd had a date that Sunday night, and she cried and insisted he stay and have that date with her. Went out on Monday morning, and this fella had sold out lock, stock, and barrel to somebody to come along on Sunday when he thought my uncle wasn't going to get there. And this was one of those incidents I spoke about, which he mentions as one he'd learned a lesson from. In regard to women, he has quite a lot of pictures of vegetables and things. These were taken here in the early days of the fairs. And here, I think this store was the store at, I don't know, is Ruby or Flat. This is a good picture. I expect it'll curl rather fast. Uncle Lynn was a jeweler more of his days in Alaska than he was anything else. He, as a result of this, we have a collection of around 12 or more of those spoons you talked about from different places. Having been a jeweler, those were things he had sent home. I don't know where this was, but I'm assuming it's that same large tailing pile, isn't it? Or Dumb. This was taken early enough that it wasn't in this area. I'm pretty sure that it was during the years he was up Ruby or Rampart. These are cantaloupes growing in Fairbanks, and it's in the back it says $3 to $6 each. July 15th. They were apparently in undercover. This is the only picture I have of Esther. I don't know what year. But it's marked on the map. I do not know where this is either. Sort of in between there, but maybe you can get it one way or the other. At one time, I thought maybe it was right there at the edge of Chena because the hills go up the way they do, but I doubt it. Yeah. I have no idea about that one. This is the interior of the MTAT at Rampart. Rampart. No, there are three men there. One of them is Marco. I don't know the other two. Here's a dredge at Flat Creek, anyway. I thought there was a carriage there with the ladies in it, and all was interesting in that picture. How early did dredges come in this country? I have no idea. It says Flat Creek there at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
It says I did it out of gold mining district. Yeah. This picture are the Alaska school children at Ruby after the Christmas tree in 1916. Mrs. Paddock is the teacher. You can look at that later because it's possibly there. This is a historical event. This is Reverend Forbes preaching the funeral of John Barleycorn in the Senate Saloon at Ruby. That was 1917. Now, I don't know who Reverend Forbes was. My uncle was in that picture in a rather prominent spot. And maybe he was the one. He would be up to it, certainly. Well, now, you take a reading class and read the remarks there on the side on the chalkboard. They're rather interesting, but you can't see them here, I'm afraid. I was struck by the fact that there seemed to have been a lot of saloons called Senate. There was one here in 1904 from one of these accounts I have, and here's one over there. I don't know whether the early legislators all patronized those or whether they owned them. They owned them. I think they owned them. I know Mr. Long has been waiting for this picture. Or here's the wedding gifts of. This is the Carls. My uncle must have profited from that wedding because there's a lot of things he must have sold in that picture. There's a lovely piece of silver and crystal that you can make out. Oh, is that right? Yes. Now this is in ruby. It's labeled Walter Goyne in 6 mile race, Ruby Carnival 1917. Oh dear. Nice picture, anyway. They must have had a terrifically interesting social and recreational life there in Ruby in that period. I imagine. Now, these... Would somebody write all this one down, because I have very little information. Yeah. Let me, no. This has no date and no location, except that it says down at the bottom, Pioneers of Dash City. And we think it was Dawson.
I think we have a picture of that one.
Yeah.
A larger one.
Well, here are the names. Billy Lloyd, Hooch Albert, Al Whistle, Bill Leggett, Bill Wilson, Sim Chu Hill. This looks like Little Peter, I'm not sure. Joe Cooper, Nigger Jim, Blanchard, a man named Baker, and then Cash. Joe LeVery, Frank Baker, something that looks like DePaul, Harry Spencer, Howard Clark, Frank Carroll, Benny Frazier, Jim Frazier, Gus Lindeker, Lime Stearns, Lil Pierce, and it's always on there, and they're hard to read, but this is kind of one of the earlier. And here's a similar one that's even more unidentified, which should... Now, Uncle Lynn's in that on the second row, the second one from the right there, with the pipe in his hand. Well, I don't know who the rest of these boys are. Top row, Nick Kimball, M.P. Fleshman, Ben Baker, Walter Foley, Carlo Junkett, Billy DeWolf, Dave Scott, Johnny Morgan, Lynn Smith, H. Smallberg, Dr. Hodgins or Hudgens, Herman Tofte, Sam Harder, Herman Weber, Jack Nelson, and at the bottom, Uncle Lou said, those were the happy days. But it would be interesting to know where that was. It's hard to tell. You can look at this some of them later. Now, I have so many Ruby pictures here that I hesitate to show them. They're all group pictures, and I think maybe it would be better if I left them here to somebody to look at later individually. But here were a series of unidentified ones that I had, and maybe you don't know where these were. That middle picture is in a cabin, but this one down at the bottom, see if I can get it. Uncle Lynn is the one in the front there, and I wouldn't be surprised if these were the men that came in 98, a group of them. Would any of you recognize Baldy Richmond? He was in the group that Uncle Lynn came in with in 98. And I thought he might have been in this picture.
He was a young man.
And there was a man by the name of Paget. But, he isn't. Well, now, I don't know where this top picture was taken, if you either. Man, no idea. Now, I'm going to speed up this next group because they're a more recent vintage and we can't stay all night. Yes, I thank you. I'll lay that on top, though. Because these are local, I thought you might want to see what can happen to a man in a period of years. I generally pass this around my class and point out to these college boys what can happen. Yeah, so that's the way I looked when I was here years ago. Yes, this is in the trees there to the east of the main building. Now, isn't this Jack London? It's autographed. It says on the back, Merry Christmas to Lynn Smith, Charlie Tulka, the Vagabond Reporter, down at the bottom, Jack London, 1931. And this man, it says his name is Riley R. Wright. I have no idea who he is. Probably somebody just passing through up here. Well, these are all just scenes. Is that right? This was in 28. That winter, that year I was here, it was a real heavy winter snowfall. And here are unidentified pictures of people. Which one? Well, I find that picture's clear down at the bottom. We'll let you look at it later. No, not these. I'm going to get the top ones in there if I can without losing these. Because you may... Is that? I don't know. I don't think you'll be able to identify all the women in these pictures. Uncle Lynn got acquainted with these gals on his trips out with him. Out on the boat coming back, you know, and they entertained them in Fairbanks. There were a lot of them, the school teachers of this community, they're coming up here for jobs, and you'll recognize some of them. These are flood pictures. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to display these too well. Here's that. Yeah. Is it that early?
Yeah.
I had to, I suppose it was later. I'm going to have trouble with these. I'm afraid. Can't keep them down. I wonder if you'd help me here with a third hand, if you don't mind. And just unfurl them so I can at least run them through. I'm afraid to try these. Here's them.
Way down.
I'm going to try and... I'm sure these pictures are numerous up here. Here are some a little earlier. Now these are the beginnings of that plant. There's that. Well, these flood pictures are alike. What street is this one? That poor Anna?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Hey, you know any of these girls? Well, I think number three is Mrs. Wolf in Anchorage, isn't it? Somebody write that down, it'll help me. Number three. Oh, is that Ms. Adler? That's picture number three. Yes, I expect that's who that is. There was one here extra, but...
She might be able to tell you
the
name.
Yeah.
I know who... This is Mrs. Hanley. But at the top, isn't it? And there's a beautiful picture at the bottom of a lawn party in her yard. That one at the bottom. You can look at it before it curls. I'll get this top picture. And it's got the Ladies' Society of the 13th Church all in it. So that'll bear some identification when you've got time to really study who the people are. Well... I don't know. This was my sister, and my sister was here. And I don't know who the girls with her are. My sister's a short one. But... It is. I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. You know, this was the group of teachers he brought in from Valdez, and when they got off the boat down there, Stanley Nichols was the marshal down there, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And had a cabin with some strawberry patch, and he told these girls to go up and help themselves, Uncle Lynn did. They'd been told about the big strawberries, you know. So they got up there, and by gum, Stanley, of course, came out. They didn't know him from Adam, and asked him what they were doing. And they told him, well, this is too bad. This was trespass. He stuck them in jail overnight. And Uncle Lynn, of course, got him out the next morning and brought him on over to the Valdez Trail. And he said, well, you wanted a cheap lodging, you know. He was quite capable of it. I don't know who that lady is. This is Uncle Lynn's cabin there on Cushman. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know who the lady is. Mrs. Lawrence painted a lovely picture of that dog, which we have. There's a large one. And Now, I'm not doing very good by these that I didn't pack down. This set will interest you most because in this is Mrs. Lawrence and there's Ben Ileson and several others. He's a big fella, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Uncle Lynn's over at the far left, but I know he's a little fella. Next to him is.
Right
around her. Now, this is, let's see if I can. Probably just going to curl on me. Mrs. Lawrence is in that picture along with a Mrs. Yeah, I have lots of pictures of that. Now, this one I have no idea. I know the men, but let's get that. Well, let's get a paper clip here, so one of these others, and pin that down. See if there's just pull one off of one of those low ones. Here's one. And that's Pat O'Connor, isn't it? And Uncle Lynn, but. Well, if you don't recognize that view of the lady, here's some more. I don't know. It could be. I'll ask her when we catch up if you think it is. Things passed?
No.
Well, it was. Maybe not. I thought there was labels. Some of these were labels.
I have a little longer face than that.
All right. There's nothing on those. I have some other Harding Lake pictures, but not with people. I'm going to skip them. Maybe you'd know who this girl was. I haven't. It's not marked either. Picture number 9. Here are some people I can't identify either. This man at the bottom, particularly. That couldn't be any of the Lomans or Cap Williams or any of those men, could it? I have a beautiful picture here of Cap Williams' herd. There is a picture of Judge Clegg in this, or in a parka, but I'm afraid these aren't going to hold up. You can look at them later. I have these some pictures, of course, of Genevieve and Hortense Parker, and this girl who won the races one year, I don't know her name. Is that familiar to any of them? See if that's marked. It says here, Miss somebody Columbo. Columbo?
Oh, yeah.
From Tanana.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's number 12 and 11. These are the dog races here about the time I was here. I'm going to pass those up because they're too small. But here's some pictures. I think this is Louise Clegg in this one. Well, that's Jack Buckley on the right. I know that. I don't know who's in the parka, but she's on the horse too. Let's see if I can get that in there. Can you tell enough? That's curling too fast. You can look at it. two or three pictures there. And the reason I thought it was her is that these pictures were taken as a part of a court party. They were on horses and they'd gone somewhere to have trial. I've spoken two or three places where I said that I assumed there were some in the crowd that knew my Uncle Lynn Smith, United States Marshal, that there was silence following that. And one of the men down in the Pioneer Lodge at Anchorage said, well, Dr. Heller, you realize we knew him, but we weren't going to admit it. And that I've had to explain that while I was here as a college boy, I was deputized too, and my job was to break the kegs on these raids around here, which puts me in a bad light with some people here in the territory. And here's the result of all that at work. Big collection of stills. Bob Bartlett's the one there in the cap, and that's there's several others we can identify there, but let's see if I can get one of the corners in the hole. Yeah, that's here. There's the jail block as it was being. I can't get that in, so without it, let's see if I get the top one, the hole still. No, but there was quite a collection. You know, in those early days, the marshals made these raids and got a warrant for the and offer these raids on the basis of smell. They never could really knew where these stills were. Some of you may know this. And that winter I was here as a deputy, we had several interesting experiences. One was over here on around Cowles and Third or somewhere second, where one of the men had gone by one day and smelt the odors coming up through the snow somewhere. And it was in front of a building that was corrugated iron sides. And so they knew there was something close at hand. They got a warrant. Is that what you call it? Well, I forget. You can get in that place. Search warrant. And by George, when we broke in there, this corrugated iron shed had been built over a log cabin. And there was a space about 2.5 feet between the walls. And we went in and searched the cabin. There wasn't a sign of cellar or trap doors of any kind anywhere around that cabin, but there was plenty of smell, plenty of odor. And it wasn't, they searched there for a couple hours, the deputies, and it wasn't until the very last one of the boys started to move the wood pile there. The wood was piled in between the walls. And down under that, they found the trap door, and the still was in an underground room down under the yard. And the odors have just come up through the snow, you know. When we got through breaking the kegs on that one, it filled the cellar there, up in that room, up about 3 feet deep. That was a waste. I don't know where this picture was taken. I can't hold that. No, maybe I can get a clip on it. Where did I put that other one? Did I throw it away? Or? I must have left it on there. Well, this isn't working out. Next time we'll mount these so that they're more effective, but all right. Whether that'll make it possible to hold it. There you can identify. Well, it could be. George Park was in McKinley Park that summer I worked there. I don't know where this was. Or who he was with there. Shame I can't keep those in curly either. Let's pull that one. Yeah. You know the people hearing this? Do I know the lady? It's a lady. Well, there's somebody up here at the top. I don't know who's here there. Anybody know Edward Cady? Yeah. How to show these where they're curling up so badly that let's select a few of them and leave these lay around. You will recognize these buildings. I was quite amazed on about the second trip.
This is October 19th, 1961, and the recording has just been made by Dr. Herbert Heller, showing pictures of a collection of his uncle, Lynn Smith, who was in Fairbanks as Marshal in the late 20s and early 30s.
Then I think you need to do as you are doing here, fall on the wonderful resources of the college people who will help in this work. But remember, bring the kids into the picture somewhere. After working for years in Indiana at this type of thing, I finally was given the position as chairman of the education committee of our state society, with the idea of developing materials put into the public schools. This will all be gone with us, unless we can get it in a state and a shape that can be taught, be shown to the younger people what we're doing here will, be lost. So I hope you can join me. This all has to be photographed and made into black and white slides for preservation and distribution and present use. Microfilm materials, microfilming is the technique that these men know are valuable, and this type of recording.